We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoff, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarm to the ball so incredibly. This speed burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
I'm here to entertain and talk Bears or talk White Sox or Dusty Baker. What do you want to talk about?
Dave Wannstedt.
You guys want to hear something funny? When I'm coaching, right, everyone's calling me a moron. Now I get a microphone in front of me, everyone calls me an expert.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Dave Wannstedt in the Hyundai Score Studios. Last week, Dave was so protective over the bottle of Bradshaw bourbon that was waning down that he denied Spiegs and I a chance to drink. Cheers, Matt Spiegel, with this beautiful bourbon that we have here.
This is good. Thank you. I'm glad.
You see what I got right here?
Yeah, you got a can of beer.
I see light from Pittsburgh.
Not even over ice.
No, this is like champagne, man. This stuff is good. Okay, you can drink your bourbon.
I see. You're not even mad. Dave is such an agreeable, nice guy. Now we're finishing off his bottle of bourbon, and he doesn't even care because he's got an icy light.
And I probably can't get. I have to talk to Terry. I probably can't get any more either, you know?
Why is that? Come on, Dave. You're still in with Bradshaw and everyone over there.
I did. We got together early last week, about 4 o'clock Sunday morning.
Oh, because the London game?
No. We meet at 4 o'clock. And me, him, and Jimmy meet and talk football in the mornings.
At 4 in the morning?
Before your Sunday work?
Yeah.
Since you're all doing shows
but
over there?
Here's the best. So I get there and I said to Jimmy, I said, geez, because all the lights were on, you had the TV going. I said, man, you're already dressed. What time do you get here? He says, about 2:30.
He flew in that morning? Woke up?
Just woke up and came over, you know.
So that's interesting.
You old people wake up early.
We walk over. Okay. We live real close.
Well, and you guys get a chance to talk and make sure that you're all up to date,
Talk, we talk college football. We talk all the college games, you know, what happened the day before. And kind of then a little bit about the show.
Don't you guys just get in there and... Isn't it nachos and beer on Saturday in the hotel room? Isn't that your guys' routine?
It's Coach Johnson's routine, yep. And watch some games, nachos and beers. So it's...
You guys have a great life.
It's pretty nice. And then meetings. I got a couple meetings. And then we go. We're up and going the next day. But we're on the air live at 8 o'clock Pacific time.
You know, right.
So I'm in a meeting, production meeting at 5:30 a.m.
And then for the games, what's your setup for the games? Where are you watching the games?
Well, we get a big green room there with about, you know, 20 TVs or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's
And so it's you, it's your show, the pre show,
and then the games.
And then the main show.
Yeah.
And then does anyone else get to go in there, or is it just you guys?
No, just staff, you know, just the people,
producers.
That are working. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, come in.
I should imagine it'd be a pretty fun crew to watch a bunch of football.
It is. Michael Strahan's hilarious. And Charles Woodson, this is the first year that he joined the show, and he has been fantastic. I mean, I've had some great conversations. He lives in Florida and obviously Michigan, so Big Ten, you know, and all that stuff.
Sure, and he's a smart, thoughtful guy. I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, it's been good. It's been fun.
What are your early impressions of Bears-Packers?
Well, as long as the Bears don't fall behind, that's my first thought, you know, because I think that I loved what they did last week offensively. What, the extra lineman in there, 16 snaps, I think it was.
For Alex Bars,
you know,
yes.
And so, you know, you can stay tough as a coach, but until the players really see a commitment to it, it's just words. So we're going to run the ball. We're going to change our identity. That all sounds good. Then you go out there and you run it, you know, 15 times and go back to your normal whatever. But when you make to put the extra lineman in like they did, you know, and using tight ends and using fullbacks, that means that they practiced that all week. So now just, you know, you visualize Bill Lazor, the defense coordinator, stands and says, hey, guys, we're going to be physical this week. We're going to run the ball. And the players are sitting there saying, yeah, okay, well, we've heard that before, you know, here. And then he says, well, here's the package that we're going to use. And then it's like, whoa, really? We're going to put an extra line and use a fullback and do this? That's a commitment. And the players respond to that. And I think that's what happened in the game. You know, it's not just lip service, as we say. It followed up by what we practiced and what we did, and we had success with it.
I think there's something about this style that's kind of hard for some people to grasp. And when I say some people, I mean Danny. But no, not really. It's a lot of people. But it's like there's something about this style where people like to play it. Like offensive linemen like to play it. And even like a whole team, they're steeped in like a real physical brand of football, and most of them are because that's the way they played, you know, growing up most of the time. If you are this team that is imposing your will and beating the crap out of people and you just keep doing it and you stay committed to it, there seems to be like a lather and a confidence that gets going with a team collectively.
And what comes on, absolutely. And boy, the defense loves that. You know, I mean, they love to see that physicality. It tires out the opponent. You know, I mean, no, they don't like to be, you know, hit in the mouth, you know, 30, 35 times in a row. So there's so many benefits that way. And then the key now is they should look at the plays that they ran, okay? And now what can we do play pass off this identical look? Mm-hmm. Don't come in with a new package, you know, a new passing package. These are the runs that we ran. Now let's do the exact same thing, but now we got a little play pass off of it to Robinson or whoever, Mooney, it doesn't matter, tight ends. So that's when you really start developing a culture on offense or a system on offense where your play passes and your runs are identical. Boy, you talk about a defense, putting stress on a defense, That's when it starts happening.
Dan Pompey wrote a thing in his postgame thing. He said that when an offensive line is blocking well on run plays, they tend to then start to block better on pass plays too. Like one leads to the other. And I don't know whether that's because of the confidence and the lather we're talking about, or it's because the defense is on their heels a little bit more, so they're not attacking you. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, you know, when you start pounding people, you know, the defense now, that what's the first thing every coach, at least the ones I've been around for 40 years, you know, the first thing they say is, this is what we got to stop the run this week. If we don't stop the run, you know, we got no chance. And we've got to run the ball. That's the two conversations right off the bat that everybody talks about. And so that's the mentality of the defense and the coaches. And if you're running the ball against them, boy, those coaches are on the sideline and they are drawing stuff up and the players, and there's a real sense of urgency. If we can't stop this run, nothing else is going to matter. And when a team runs the ball, this is the difference. You can throw a pass and two guys go up for the pass and you out-jump a guy or the ball gets tipped. You know, one guy makes a great play. Okay, everybody's happy and they celebrate. But when you run the ball or you're on defense and you are getting hit and they're running it against you, all 11 guys are basically involved in that. You know what I mean? So that's attacking the soul of a defense. When somebody can run the ball against you, man, that's demoralizing, and it can break your will a lot quicker than you throw a pass up. Everybody comes up with an excuse why it happened. Oh, the guy fell down, or he made a lucky throw or a lucky catch, you know, and they go about their business. But you go 40 yards and you run the ball like the Bears did and punch it in, and then you stop them. You know, when the Raiders went for it with Josh Jacobs on the goal line and you hit him in the mouth and stop him, I mean, that's the kind of things that will break the will of the opponent.
We make fun of you for never having a great quarterback, but I've had so many conversations with you over the years about your awesome running backs, namely Shady McCoy and Ricky Williams. The Bears had David Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
who was playing very well, hurt. I don't know if you saw the news, but about 45 minutes ago, they placed Damian Williams on the COVID list. So we don't know yet if he just had a close contact where he can get a couple of negative tests and then play on Sunday,
right.
or if he's out. They haven't released that yet. How much of the Bears' success running the football the last few weeks, they've had more rushing yards than passing yards in four consecutive games. Is it the fact that Damian Williams and David Montgomery have been good and Khalil Herbert is not as good as them? Or is the system so good that Khalil Herbert should be able to step in and average 4.5-5 yards a carry like those other guys were?
No, I think if they stay with the commitment and the plays, I think he'll have success. You know, as far as now after what happened the last couple of weeks, what you just said right there, I guarantee you this week that the Green Bay Packers, they're sitting there saying, let Justin Fields throw the ball to beat us.
Right.
That we are not going to let these guys run on us. I mean, that's what I would be saying if I was a defense coordinator.
Do they have the personnel to they're not a good run defense, but I know you can just put eight guys in the box
That's what they're going to have to do. I mean, schematically, they're going to have to come up with some things to take away the run. I mean, that's the starting point. If they do that, they got no chance. And put the ball in Justin Fields' hand and see if he can beat us throwing the ball. That would be the starting point.
So when I'm watching the game, when the audience is watching the game,
yep.
Say the Bears receive the opening kickoff, it's a touchback, they're starting, it's first and 10 at their own 25-yard line, and the Packers, they have said, we are going to I wrote it down, I always forget that. Joe Barry, right?
Defensive coordinator.
That's the new defensive coordinator,
Joe
Barry.
Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they're saying we're taking away the run,
yep.
Am I looking for Adrian Amos to be up in the box? Like where am I looking at the Packers and saying, oh,
yeah,
they're daring us here? Because it's not like they're going to put five defensive linemen down there.
More than likely, you would see a safety involved, but you could also see a linebacker blitz. I mean, the Bears have three good running plays that they like, so they're going to zero in on them, and you might see a linebacker firing a gap or blitzing, you know, a run. There's run blitzes. There's run blitzes and pass blitzes. You may see a run blitz right off the bat.
Have you identified those three running plays? You see those three running plays?
No, I haven't seen them enough yet. No.
Okay.
I've seen some more.
But you see a little variety,
I do. Absolutely. And, so that would be my approach. I mean, and I think that the Bears are going to come out, and hopefully they've added a little bit of play action pass off of it. And, you know, now with Justin Fields, the one thing that it's a little bit frustrating for me is we all, you know, going into last week's game, Justin Fields had four quarterback called runs in two starts going into last week's game. Four. He had six runs, but he had four of them were quarterback called plays. And now that he's banged up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know if they can really afford to make that a big part of the offense, him running the football with designed runs. If you know what I mean? Now, you know, he's going to scramble and he's going to do some things on his own, but that's the one part that I wish was a little bigger part of their offensive attack. But right now, I don't think they can afford to do that.
I think it's great when they get him on the move. They had, you know, that Horsted touchdown. They get him mm-hmm. on the move to the right. He's got a run option, but he's got a couple guys out there. And that's a great throw. This week, Bill Lazor is saying that guy was NFL open, not really college open, and Justin still had the courage to throw it.
Threw it on his back shoulder. Yeah, that was a little scary. Yes.
Yeah, but it was
good.
It was
yeah.
good play. But when it's a straight run, or when he's out there on the edge, what are your impressions of Justin Fields as a runner you watch him?
Yeah, you know what? It looks like he's, you know, cloudy mind, slow feet. You know, clear mind, fast feet. You guys have heard me say that. Well,
yeah.
It looks like he's running the ball with a cloudy mind. Like he's got a lot in it. You know, do I want to keep it? Do I want to try to make a guy miss? Do I want to throw it? And I don't think we're seeing he's a better athlete than what we've seen. I would say that. You know, for his speed and his size and his strength and his athleticism, his runs have been okay, but they haven't been spectacular.
No,
you know?
He doesn't look quick, and
no,
I know he is quick.
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and just say cloudy mind, that he's got so much going on in his mind that he gets the ball, he's out on the edge, and hey, here comes a defender. You know, I'm not going to do anything crazy. I don't want to try to. I'm not going to turn the ball over. On and on and on. So let's. I think we leave it at that and see what happens going down the road.
And so that means, though, when you talk about that clear mind, fast feet, that if he's got a cloudy mind and he's overthinking things, that
it's going to be slowed up. Absolutely.
But it's fixed with experience. Right, like once he learns the offense
absolutely.
And trusting himself to be direct with the instincts. Yeah, that's of course in play.
I mean, this was a different offense and a different attack, you know, when you last week or week and a half than what it was the first 2 weeks. So the whole playbook that this kid's been studying since minicamp, you know, is it's still there, but it's kind of on the back burner right now. It's on the shelf, and we're making a transition here to more of a physical type attack, more of a run, play pass. And so he's kind of learning, I don't want to say a new system, but he's learning a lot of plays and formations and shifts and things that he did not work on in training camp, I promise you.
It is, according to Brad Biggs, a positive test for Damian Williams.
Ooh, that means he's definitely not going to play,
yeah,
right?
So, I mean, unless it was a positive test a while ago and he's able to get multiple negative tests in, but I assume just that they put it out there today, yeah, I would assume that means that he is not going to be playing. So it is Khalil Herbert and Ryan Nall and
Todd Gurley still on a couch somewhere. Everybody else is on the Ravens.
Yeah.
There you go.
How many for Montgomery, it's one more week before he can even start to consider coming back?
One more after this.
They put him on IR, so it's two more weeks.
Two more weeks.
Yeah, so, okay. So they've got running back problems.
I mean, I kid about Todd Gurley, but it's, you know, they're going to need another guy who can run some plays
I haven't seen their practice squad. Anybody on their practice squad,
It
was Ryan Nall. They called him up. They called him up for last week. When you design a quarterback run, and, you know, Lamar Jackson will run right up the middle.
Yep.
That's fairly rare for a designed quarterback run. Well, it's not a quarterback sneak.
Look at Buffalo did.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, the first two third downs, you're talking about breaking your spirit. You know, Kansas City's defense is bottom of the league anyway, and all of a sudden you get them in third down, and you're thinking, oh, God, we finally got them. And the first two third downs in that Buffalo Kansas City game, he runs quarterback draw and just runs up the field and makes guys miss and gets the first down. I mean, you're talking about taking your spirit away early. So yes, there are those runs. I haven't seen that. That's something that I think that Justin would be fantastic at.
Guys, Artavis Pierce is still on the practice squad, the running back who had cup of coffee last year. So we'll probably see him active on
Sunday. I think you will for sure.
I was wondering, because like the Bears' strength of their offensive line is obviously guard-to-guard, right? With Mustafa at center and then Daniels and Whitehair at guard. But most quarterback runs, I feel like, are off tackle, because you don't really want to run them into the nose tackle and the biggest dude. But the Bears don't have good tackles.
It depends on your philosophy and what you're running. I mean, we ran quarterback runs up inside. If you're a power lead team, you can run those powers and leads right up between that center and guard, but now the quarterback's carrying the ball. You know, kind of a wildcat mentality. That's all it is.
Right.
Really, and the quarterback's keeping it. So I mean, you get an extra blocker.
Well, so is that what you would do given the strength of the Bears' offensive line?
Well, you got to mirror them up now. You know, you might add one play, but you got to be careful you don't, you know, and I don't know how Bill Lazor is doing it, but. You know, I always did it this way. Once we set our board, okay, when we had, let's just say we had seven runs on the board and we had seven play passes to match it up. Well, you know, there's coaches, everybody's got an idea. We want to add this. This would be good this week. You know, I said, okay, here's the deal, guys. That's all fine. If you want to add that play, here's the eraser and take one off, because we aren't adding any more plays for our quarterback or our offensive line or our running back. So I think that's the key that, you know, yes, we can do these plays, but you can't give this kid too much. You can't just start adding inside run here and another inside run here. Now, unless you're going to take some of those outside runs off, because you can't practice them either, you know, and I've always done that, learned that a long time ago, and that's the best way to do it.
Danny, you and I had a conversation the other day about head coaching Matt Nagy And I'd love to ask a head coach right here about that conversation and how we can judge him the rest of the way.
We'll do that. And there's an assistant coach on the Bears staff that could be particularly relevant for this game. And I think Dave has some experience with this type of thing. It's next on The Score.
Dave Wannstedt with Parkinson Spiegel.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
On 670 The Score.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Dave Wannstedt in studio. It's Packer week. We're talking Bears and Packers. News of the day, Damian Williams, Brad Biggs reporting a positive COVID test. So Khalil Herbert, Ryan Nall, potentially Artavis Pierce from the practice squad. And we'll see if they can keep running the football with success. They've ran the ball for more yardage than passing the ball four consecutive games. It's old school football. It's Dave Wannstedt football. It is not common across the league today. There's a wrinkle in this game that I find interesting, Dave.
Wait, one quick second.
Yeah.
Any update on Akeem Hicks? You guys hear anything on that?
Yeah, let me pull up the...
Not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Let me just... Not in TV, you know, you don't talk over something.
No. Well, this is casual radio where we're drinking.
Okay.
He did not practice in addition to Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, J.P. Holtz, and Caleb Johnson, all not practicing.
But Khalil Mack didn't practice last week and then played. We'll probably expect that again. Hicks, it seems to be a bit more serious.
Yeah. Okay. And I my instinct is Allen Robinson finished the game, so he will start the next game. But who knows? He showed up on the injury report this week as well. I'm sure this happened to you at some point in your career where you had someone on your staff that the year before had been on your opponent for that week. The Bears hired Mike Pettine this offseason as, you know, a defensive advisor.
Good point. That's right.
He was the defensive coordinator for the Packers. They replaced him with Joe Barry, who we were talking about earlier, who comes from the Rams. So I'm curious... They've changed systems in Green Bay, so they're not running Mike Pettine's system, so he will not necessarily have insight into that. But he knows the personnel. You know, he knows Kevin King's tendencies at corner. Like, he knows Preston Smith. I'm curious what type of insight or advantage Mike Pettine could possibly have for Sean Desai this week.
Well, you know, the biggest thing would be Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's got to be things with
Aaron. Oh, interesting. So practicing against an offensive
absolutely.
Player.
Absolutely. There's got to be some things that Aaron Rodgers does not like or makes him uncomfortable, throw into his right, throw into his left, you know, pressure up the middle, whatever it is that he knows that's not talked about much. Might not be a major thing, obviously, but it's something. And the other thing too, just knowing personnel. Hey, the center, you know, the guy cannot. I mean, if you go to his left, you know, he has a tough time adjusting to his left. You know, there's little things like that he could take advantage of. But another thing too, and I remember going back to when we were at the Dallas Cowboys and Joe Gibbs was the head coach of the Washington Redskins, and they were going to Super Bowls and we were trying to just to catch up. And Joe had tendencies. Once we were playing him twice a year, like the third year, I mean, it wouldn't make any difference. We knew that on certain down and distances, on certain areas of the field, that Joe Gibbs was going to do this. And he just believed in that, and that was it. So my point is that there might be a tendency thing that a certain situation at the 10-yard line, you know, it's third down and five or third and four situation. Think of that. And this is where Matt LaFleur always says, you know what, I don't want to take a chance. I want to run the ball here. So that could be something, too, that he says, hey, guys, get ready. He's going to run the ball in this situation, you know?
Was Mike Pettine involved in conversations? Like, were you as a defensive coordinator involved in conversations with the offensive coordinator with the offensive game planning? Or are you talking about stuff that he would see by
just
practicing against him every day?
Absolutely. Just practicing against him for 3-4 weeks in the summer in mini camps and sitting next to him in the press box. I mean, I sat next to, you know, North Turner all those years and I had a real good feel what Norv liked, where, when, how, and he knew the same for me on defense. So
the other thing Speaks and I have been talking about is now that Matt Nagy has given up play calling, what things will you do other than wins and losses to evaluate whether or not Matt Nagy is doing a good job as a head coach?
Yeah, that'll be interesting, and I think it all comes back to Justin Fields.
So do I.
I mean, I don't think, you know, the wins and losses, yeah, they're obviously real important. I mean, that's why we play the game. But I think that if I'm George McCaskey, I need to sit back and say, wow, this guy really, and what we're doing on offense and what we're doing with Justin Fields is really taking him to the next step. Where next year, because it's not going to be long, guys, long before Robert Quinn, Khalil Mack. I mean, these guys all of a sudden start getting up in age or contracts start coming up. And now the defense is not going to be as potent and strong as what it is right now. So the window, you know, every head coach kind of has a window, and you've got to hit it big in that window. You know, what's the window for Matt Nagy? That would be the question. And I think it's all centered around the quarterback, Justin Fields. Does George McCaskey or Ryan Pace? I don't know how the structure is up there. You know, it's not going to be George and Ted Phillips sitting there saying, we don't like how the guy's progressing. George isn't going to do that, and he's not going to rely on Ted to do that. It's going to have to be Ryan Pace. And I think the way Ryan has drafted, I mean, everybody knows that this kid's a talent. I mean, Ryan could be the one truly, at the end of the day, making a decision whether we are moving at the pace that we need to move to be a Super Bowl contender.
Well, he's the football guy. That's what
they
told us.
He's the football guy.
They told us the pace is the football guy. So that's really interesting because we talked about, you know, a discipline over the team, talked about game management and game planning and everything like that. But still, you go back to Fields. So if Bill Lazor is the play caller the rest of the year and things are going well in that regard, can you still credit Matt Nagy for development of Justin Fields for the year?
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't base it on did the players like you, because you can, you know, you see these coaches that get let go midseason, and the guy that takes their place, he doesn't put the pads on anymore, and he cuts practice by 30 minutes. And, man, the players are saying, we love Coach Spiggs. Coach Spiggs is fantastic. Well, you know, and the owner's hearing that and the media's hearing that. Man, this guy is fantastic. They love him.
That's nice to hear.
Well, it's nice to hear, you know. But at the end of the day, they like him because he's kind of doing what they want to do. Ooh. You know, he's really – so I think you got to be careful there. You know, you got to be careful there. And Matt now, all of a sudden, he gets a chance to evaluate the defense. I'm hoping that he's in some defensive meetings. I'm hoping now, you know, when I was the head coach, I never missed a special teams meeting. I mean, I was just adamant that I wanted to be around the guys that were on the lower tier that weren't starters and make sure that they were all in.
And you wanted to avoid your quarterback at all costs.
And I never wanted to talk to the quarterback. Yeah. So no. I mean, but my point, you know what I mean? So I was, that's what a head coach, in my opinion, should be doing if he's not calling the plays. And
that'd be an interesting line of questioning for the Bears beat reporters, like at the middle of the week. Matt, since you've stopped doing the play calling, have you changed up your... Because I imagine, just from like what I know about Matt Nagy, is that he's always empowered his defensive coaches.
Yep.
He did it with Vic. He did it with Pagano.
Calling the plays, right?
Well,
he was the offensive coordinator and head coach.
But now he's free.
But he's still putting together the game plan. You cannot convince me that Matt Nagy is not a part of the game plan.
Oh no! Absolutely, absolutely. But you know, I mean, I was part of the defensive game plan. I mean, we didn't do one thing on defense unless I said, okay, fine. You know, I would. That's where I.
So you think not calling the plays has freed up a lot of time?
Every day after practice, I would watch the practice. Obviously, offense, defense, special teams. But when practice was over and the coaches were evaluating the film, I sat in every defensive meeting. That was my expertise. And I sat in there with the defensive coaches and we went over it. And I made darn sure that we were all on the same page and what we were doing.
So help me out then. Like,
but beforehand, I would go in and sit in the back of the offensive meeting, you know, when they were installing stuff.
Sure.
And then special teams. I would sit up in the special teams meeting and hear about our return game. And, you know, that's...
I hope he's doing that.
That's being a CEO, right? That's being a GM,
but
a head
coach. Why would not calling plays on game day free up extra time during the week?
Say that again.
He gave up play calling on game day, on Sunday.
Right.
So why does that change his responsibilities on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Because now you're the head coach. I mean, you know, now you've got time to to let your coaches go work and go spend time with special teams and defense. And so, I mean, you got to know the guys. I don't know how the hell you do it. I mean, if I never had a feel for the offense, you know, I'm watching the tape. I'm not coaching the offense, but I'm sitting in that meeting and I'm watching the tape and I'm watching Reggie White and these guys, Sean Gilbert, and all these guys, you know, be in the backfield. I know that we're going to have a tough time running the ball. So my thought process is, hey, defensively, we're going to have to take some chances. We're going to have to blitz this. You know what I mean? So I'm always sitting in there and I'm watching. I'm not watching the offense to say, can we run these plays?
Everything's interconnected like
Everything's interconnected. In my mind, it was. And Jimmy John, you know, and I just got all of it, you know, from Jimmy. I mean, and so I'm kind of compounding all this stuff. Oh, boy, we might have a chance on our tough one here. We may have to go for an onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do an onside kick? Let me get in that special teams meeting and see. You know what I mean? So all intertwined in my mind.
Let me ask you specific about the defense. Mario Edwards Jr. committed two penalties, two ugly penalties, the second of which was a personal foul that turned what was going to be a third and six into a first down. About 12 more defensive snaps went on during the game. He didn't play in any of them. He didn't play in any of them. And I'm sitting there watching that scene like, man, that guy, that's your second penalty. Get out. Get out just to, like, teach him a lesson or just, yep. You know, make him feel like it's accountable. Who's making that call, if indeed a call is made? Is that Sean Desai deciding that? Could Matt Nagy be involved in that kind of thing?
Oh, I think the defensive coach – I mean, the defensive line coach would jerk him out if that happened with me. But then the defensive coordinator, he wants him in there. But it's up to the head coach to say, hey, leave him sit or put him in. That's the way I would see it. So ultimately, it comes back to the head coach.
And him sort of establishing a culture like that, I feel like that's on him, and I'm going to be watching for that the rest of the way. But I don't know if that's really what he's going to be doing, you know? If that's a strength for him.
I don't know. It's that's what you need to do if you, you know, head coach to be most effective. I mean, God, you know, it's 4th and 15. I keep coming back to that play, and you're going to go for it on offense. You better know how your defense, how are they going to hold up? Can they hold up? I mean, you know, I don't know. It's we've gone down that road, so we're moving on. So I'm going to give Matt the benefit of the doubt that he's got a handle on everything now.
You enjoy that Iron City Light and that bourbon today, Dave?
Well, you know what?
You're a little low energy today. Are you okay over there?
Iron City Light was fantastic, and
I just wanted to be sure.
I thought Dave was terrific today.
The analysis was great, but he was. You could say
this wasn't today was football talk day. It wasn't comedy hour.
Right. Okay. That's exactly right.
All right.
You didn't have your little court jester Tony Wise sitting next to you.
And Tanny and I don't agree. By the way, we think your energy was just great today.
That's what I'm saying. I thought his energy was great.
You guys are sucking up to the guests because you want him to bring us more free bourbon.
Dave, if you get a chance before you leave here, if you could kick Danny Parkin's ass, that'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know, we'd all kind of enjoy that.
I don't know, Syracuse guys. You know, they're tough upper upstate New York.
That's
guys.
Right.
Wait till Pitt plays Syracuse this year. How much you owe me now? Just bring in a case. Double it, whatever.
Yeah, I know. I do owe you a bottle of red.
Yeah, well, bring that in because we're getting low on the bourbon. Right. So
right,
now
we'll do wine next week.
We'll sip a bottle of wine.
You know? Right, we're not low on the bourbon. The bourbon's at zero.
Oh, okay. So
all right, I'll replenish the booze.
That's pretty low.
Zero is way too low.
Tell Mitch, we got to get that on our budget. This
is
part of the program,
booze.
Right? Exactly.
Bigger bourbon budget.
Yeah, that's not a problem. All right, Dave, have a good week.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Go Bears. I'm anxious to see this. You'll be good.
All right, that's Dave Wanstead. We got some food issues for a couple people on the show. We'll get into it on the score.
Cody tells me he can eat pizza all day, and his favorite place to eat is Shake Shack.
Youth.
That's what I said. 23 years old.
Check in with us in 15 years, Cody.
He said, I can eat all the pizza I want, and I still don't gain weight. I said, I hate you. Had a big smile on his face. What an awesome, awesome young man.
I forgot where I hate you came from. It was eating all of the pizza all by myself.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats it. Eat the pizza.
I was out to dinner, or my wife was out to dinner last night, so I was alone to fend for myself, and we had a frozen DiGiorno in the freezer, and I made the whole thing. And normally, if we make a frozen pizza at home, it's for two.
Sure, you each do a half a pie.
Yeah.
You got a pizza cutter at home?
Yeah, I got a pizza cutter at home, but...
Great, man. I'm so glad you do.
I think it's important.
Were you doubting that I'm a homeowner without a pizza cutter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Speaks asked it for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Sure.
We got knives
and forks, too.
Yeah, Speaks is the kitchen appliance guy.
Yeah, that's right. I figure one of you guys would run it over there if he needed a pizza cutter. You'd run it over.
Yeah, I can't believe I left my pizza cutter at the other apartment. Oh, it's so important to me.
It's in Steph's dad's cutter for him. Yeah, it's in Steph's dad's toolbox somewhere.
All right, it was a fair question. The kitchen is very well put together. Steph has everything for the kitchen. I found the pizza cutter last night. I was able to feed myself all by myself. But I found myself wanting to eat the entire DiGiorno, and I got through three quarters of it. And so I'm curious, if you have a pint of Ben and Jerry's, it's very tough to stop and not eat the entire pint.
Yeah. So when you stopped at three quarters of a pie, how many pots had you smoking at that point?
A normal amount of pots.
Okay.
A bowl. Yeah. Standard after work puff, right?
And did you finish? Did you go full round?
I didn't. Discipline came in, but I could have. Is the thing. And so I'm wondering, I had not really been confronted with this situation probably since college when, of course you consume the entire thing.
If I'm solo on a frozen pizza, I will put half the pizza on a plate and deal with that. And then almost always go back for one more quarter of the pizza, half of the remaining half. And then I'll put two pieces away and think to myself, I did a good job. Didn't eat the whole thing. Way to go, buddy.
But I never reheat cold frozen pizza. It's not good. I will, cold pizza from a restaurant, of course. But I never. So I found myself discarding a quarter of a DiGiorno.
I guess if it's early enough in the night, I won't put that last quarter of the pizza away. I'll just sit there.
Oh, and then room temperature.
Give it an hour and a half to go back and hit round three, essentially.
But a DiGiorno's a thick crust, bready, frozen. Shane, you go full frozen pizza?
The only time I'll eat a full frozen pizza is if I hadn't eaten anything that day and it's a Jack's with the crispy, thin crust, because that doesn't weigh on you. That's not a big pizza. Mm. I could never sit down and eat an entire DiGiorno's or even three quarters of a DiGiorno's.
DiGiorno's
pizza.
Fluffy. How about a home run in? That's my standard.
That's even
at home.
Heavier. Yeah, because the DiGiorno's is fluffy and light. The home run in is a dense.
It's buttery and dense.
Yeah.
It's
true. But I add stuff to the Jacks. I'll put some lunch meat on top and some extra cheese too.
Lunch meat.
Let's back up on the lunch meat.
Yeah, like salami or roast beef or turkey or something like that, and then throw some extra cheese on top.
Cold cut turkey on a Jack's frozen pizza?
Yes.
And then extra cheese before you put it in the oven?
Yeah, is it shredded mozzarella cheese or something like that? Or burrata, if I'm feeling real fancy, crack open a burrata ball.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
But I won't, after it's cooked. Do that after it's cooked. Or some ricotta?
I'll do that with pineapple. And sometimes some onion person. If I have it around.
Mm. You can't really be judging people today based on food, Shane.
You can't really judge people today based on anything because everyone's so freaking soft.
Why? What's going on?
Just popped in my head.
You can't be judging anymore because people are soft?
Yeah, I mean, that's just an evergreen thought in my head.
Okay, I didn't
everyone's
know anything.
So soft and sensitive.
Anything specific happen?
No.
That you want to share with the class?
Not really.
No? Okay. Do you have any more soup in your beard?
No, I don't have any soup in my beard, thanks.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. I thought today you were, soup's tough for you. Can you?
Don't worry, listeners. You'll find out what I do to my pizza at 6:05.
Oh, no, Danny, what do you do with your?
Danny's default is to make me look like an ass.
Well, yeah,
so,
yeah.
You go ahead with the pizza.
You were coming in. Okay. I'm sorry, Tanny.
No, it's okay, man. Hey,
I'm glad we're not in black and white because Danny's level of purple is very strong right now.
A very high-profile former bear just agreed with my thought via text message about people being sensitive. I'll leave that up to interpretation. But
we know Olin hates people being soft. A very high-profile
former bear. Talk to Olin tomorrow time he wants, really.
Tanny, full frozen pizza comes out. It's just you. You're solo on the night. What's the game plan? How you doing?
No, I can't do that.
Oh, man.
We have a very strict pizza procedure at my home. My wife likes to drag it through the garden. She likes the garden pizza from Home Run In. Me and my little princess, she likes plain cheese, but I like a little pepperoni, so I'll scrape all the pepperoni from one side onto my side, and me and her share one usually. So
you get the double pepperoni.
Yeah.
That works out nicely.
Imagine being married, right, guys, and having to deal with other people's decision, right, guys?
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, totally. That's what I'm saying. I was alone last night.
But because I share it with my daughter, that pizza's going in first. I don't care what happens to your pizza.
Kids got to eat. That's nice. All right. Well, I felt very and I was such an amateur, too. I burned my mouth. You gotta have patience.
Yeah,
when the
it's
pizza
hard.
You putting ice in your pizza? You gotta put ice on it, man.
Like just as it's coming out, just drop
a couple ice cubes on it.
Yeah.
What? Just like you do with hot
coffee.
Everyone
does that, right?
Yeah, everyone does that.
That's not a thing. that is not a thing.
You gotta put ice cubes on your pizza, man.
Like Dave with his beer.
Everybody does that.
Dude, just trust us.
Yeah. Okay.
Get home tonight, make a DiGiorno, put some freaking ice cubes on there.
All right. I'll do that. Get right on that, Mr. Soup Beard. What do you mean I make you look like an ass? You do that yourself.
He's thoroughly capable of doing that himself.
He's really hung up on that one.
I don't mean to make you look
bad. Okay, we understand. It's a little difficult for me to eat some foods with the hair on my face. We get it. Everyone here knows it, all right?
I'm just saying. It seems to be a particularly difficult food item for you.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
I want to grow a beard, so I wanted to know where soup was in the power ranking of difficulty for you.
Soup's up there. Wings are up there. Ribs are up there.
Saucy things.
I can't eat wings in public. I can only order wings to my home. It's you should see me try to eat some buffalo wings.
I would like to
your home.
I have to bring wings home to eat them. I can't even eat them in public. There's no wings at a restaurant for me. Can't do it.
This is what I wanted to know. I wanted to know the power ranking of bad beard food.
Pretty much any sandwich or burger that I can't cut in half. Like I can't bring a full burger to my mouth because it'll just get caught up in the mustache and the beard. So I have to cut it in half and go long ways in.
God.
Don't pull that, please.
Dump him.
Do you guys know that Jock Peterson's wearing a pearl necklace down there in Atlanta? Do you guys know that?
Stop it. Dump him for real.
Jesus.
He is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a thing.
Break.
Yeah, Gus is waiting.
Oh, Gus K, we are crushing it against the spread. Tanny's open was awesome. It's Parkinson Speak on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.